In our training and consulting work around the country, the buzz is consistently about compliance and regulatory issues. Many of the people we work the closest with want to know, how do you stay ahead of the burden of compliance? We get questions on how to plan for change, how to prepare for training that keeps the bank in line with regulatory expectations. In our hunt to help our clients, we discovered an Austin-based firm called Compliance Alliance. This month's episode will give you a clear picture of what solutions this team of experts can provide the community bank.
Training Matters is brought to you by the Training Institute, dedicated to setting the standard for individuals responsible for training effectiveness in banks and credit unions across the country.
Welcome, everybody, to this month's episode of Training Matters. We're talking today to Darla Fogarty, and she is with Compliance Alliance. She's going to tell you all about Compliance Alliance in a minute. She is the Director of Compliance and COO, and she's on the phone with me today from her office in Austin. Welcome, Darla. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for that introduction, honey. And as honey said, my name is Darla, and I've been with Compliance Alliance for about 5 years. In fact, it'll be 5 years on March 1st of this year. I started my career probably, it's been pretty close to 30 years ago. And so for some of you, that's probably been as long as you're alive. But I've been doing compliance with banks for that length of time. And I started in a small community bank and was recruited out of that bank by the OCC. And that's where I spent the majority of my career. But once I retired from the OCC, that's when I was approached to assist with the startup of Compliance Alliance. And now I'm going to finish out my career at Compliance Alliance because I have no plans of leaving compliance, and I really enjoy this side of it. Since I've seen the banker side as well as the regulatory side, I feel like there is a better fit in this part of compliance because I can actually make a difference and help our bankers try to comply with all of those regulations currently out there, as well as the new ones that keep coming out on a regular basis, in a way that can be more beneficial for them, but without breaking the bank as well.
Well, that sounds great. I know that with our clients, oftentimes this very topic comes up of how they can keep compliance at the forefront of their decision making, but also developing the expertise, being certain that they do things right. So let me ask you this. Tell us about where Compliance Alliance is, and tell us, too, how Compliance Alliance complements the work of a compliance officer or improves efficiencies and so forth. Tell us about that.
Well, when we first started Compliance Alliance, we actually got together with some bankers and asked them, you know, in a perfect world, if you could put together a business model that would help you out. And at that time, it was more talking about Dodd-Frank and what all that piece of legislation was doing to the bank. And what we heard from our banks was that they needed access to policy templates and procedure templates and cheat sheets and checklists, things that would make their life a little bit easier so they didn't have to try to recreate the wheel every time a new regulation came out or even trying to comply with the regulations that were already on the books. Well, during those initial meetings, we decided, you know, it wasn't just Dodd-Frank that they were needing that assistance with. They also needed that assistance with all the other regulations that were currently on the books as well. So we decided that we would start that business and give them access to those templates, but they also told us that they needed access to a hotline, and they wanted that hotline to be staffed with a very special skill set group of folks. They wanted to ensure that they had access to licensed attorneys as well as compliance specialists, but they also wanted to know that those folks had banking experience because, as we all know, in compliance, it's pretty easy to find somebody who can read the regulation to you and give you their interpretation of what that regulation requires. But you aren't going to get that practical side if you haven't also had that banking experience. So what we do for our bankers is we offer them that practical side because we ensure that everybody who is staffing our hotline is going to have that banking experience as well as being licensed attorneys and compliance specialists. And we complement the compliance folks at our banks by providing kind of that back room operation, if you will, because we know that oftentimes they wear several different hats at the bank. So they're likely to have several areas that they're responsible for. And then when they get asked a question or a new regulation comes out, then they may have to do some research that may take them 2 to 3 hours. So we want to give them access to the hotline and the rest of our staff so that we can do that research for them and give them an answer pretty quickly, as well as to provide them with those cheat sheets and checklists to make compliance a little bit easier for them.
Well, I can't even imagine how resourceful your clients view Compliance Alliance. A couple of thoughts that I had in listening to what you provide. If I work for a bank that subscribes to your service, if that's the right term, can anyone who has a question or a need, do they have access to your templates, to the hotline, or is it restricted to so many users and so forth?
That's one of the great things about Compliance Alliance, honey. When we put the service together, first of all, we wanted to make sure that it was easily accessible. We wanted to make sure that it could be accessed by just simply having a username and password so that there wouldn't be any special hardware or software to install at the bank level. We wanted everything to be out on a website and then have that access with just usernames and passwords. But because all of our group has also worked in the bank, we know how important it is to be able to have access for anybody that would need the ability to get to the hotline or get to any of those templates. So we don't limit the number of licenses that a bank would have. In other words, they can have as many people at the bank with a username and password as they deem beneficial to their bank. And even, let's say for a second that they didn't want to give everybody access to the website, but they did want everybody else to have access to, say, the hotline. Well, we can give them our toll-free number as well as an email address so that those folks have access to our hotline staff, which is our attorneys and our compliance specialists, but not necessarily access to the templates. But back to your original question, how many people can they have with access to the templates? Literally everyone at the bank, if that benefits them in that manner. We do have some banks that like to have more of that control, if you will, and so they'll only have a few people at the bank with access so that that person who has that control can piecemeal that out to people. But then we have other people that's like, you know, go in there and get any of the cheat sheets and checklists or policies that you need in your area at the bank and feel free to use those. Because, of course, I know in a good bank, like all of our banks do, compliance is going to get a look at that before it's actually implemented anyway.
Well, that just sounds excellent that that current latest news is being conveyed. And I like how you stressed that you appreciate what the banker needs. They need to be talking to someone who's not just interpreting what the regulatory agencies want, but is also looking at it from practical application.
It's not enough to train your workforce. You also have to train the trainer. Now is the time to register for Train the Trainer Bootcamp. Whether you're brand new to the training arena or have clocked many miles in your role as a bank or credit union trainer, you will boost your ability to engage your learners and have attendees praising your training ability. Register now, interaction-training.com.
We are talking today with Darla Fogarty about the advantages of tapping into a team of regulatory experts to help simplify the compliance challenge. You and I have talked about what you do and what I do. And so, of course, a lot of our listeners, a lot of clients that we work with across the country are very interested in being certain that they stay on top of the game when it comes to developing training that's effective and meeting any expectation that the regulators have about training. And a hot topic that comes up when I do our Train the Trainer boot camp, where we have trainers coming in from all over the country, they'll say, you know, one of our big challenges is how we deliver training to our board of directors. So give me some feedback about that. Well, how do you respond to that question?
Actually, Henny, the board of directors is actually one of the groups that I have a passion for, because I've worked with a number of boards over the years. And I know that the board of directors, oftentimes they're not bankers, and they don't really understand a lot of the compliance aspects of the bank. And then to try to force them to sit in a training for an hour on a subject matter that they may not have a clear understanding of is almost impossible. So the way that I like to approach the board of directors is to keep it short, number one, and keep it to the point, but to keep it basic as well, and go from the point of, I'm dealing with somebody who doesn't deal with this on a daily basis, but at the end of the day, I want them to know what this is going to affect and how it's going to affect them if they aren't in compliance. And always, always I talk about, what is this going to cost me and how much is it going to take out of my back pocket if I don't comply? Because that's where you get their attention. If they find out that it's going to cost them monetarily, then they want to hear how they can prevent that from happening. And then you can talk about how we get that in place at the bank and make sure that everybody's on the same page. So I like to keep it short, keep it to the point, keep it basic, but always let them know what the cost of noncompliance is.
So in your offerings at Compliance Alliance, do you have webinars or training specifically for training the board of directors, or do you just inform your clients about the type of training the directors need to have?
We do several different things for our board of directors. Obviously, we have several templates and things that are specific just to the board, but we also provide training tools, which it's actually PowerPoints that they can use at the bank, whoever's responsible for training the board. But just last year, we began offering an actual audio training, if you will, for our board of directors. So every 3 months, we provide a training, and it's always 30 to 45 minutes in length on different aspects of compliance for the board. For instance, our very first training that we did for our boards last year in October was on the regulatory expectation of the board in the area of vendor management and what role does the board play in vendor management. And then in January, our board training was on how do we spot red flags in the board report. And once we spot a red flag, what types of questions do we ask? And what does this really mean to us? And then we're going to do our next audio board training in April, and that's going to be on the regulatory expectations of the board and compliance with Reg O. And then we'll just go every 3 months from regulatory to consumer compliance. And then we have a monthly publication that we put out, and there's an article in that monthly newsletter, but it's specifically for the board and what the regulatory expectations are for them. And it's going to be on regulatory compliance as well as consumer compliance. We even talk about corporate compliance, for instance. Why do we keep minutes? How detailed should those minutes be? And how do we tally votes? And things along those lines. So, like I said before, I have a passion for the board of directors and ensuring that they understand not only what they've gotten themselves into as a board member, but how to protect the bank as well as themselves. So we're going to continue to make our toolkit, if you will, or our suite of board products. We're going to continue to enhance that, I'm sure, throughout the years, because the board does play such a big role and the regulators have higher expectations of the board and their understanding, especially as of late.
That's just exactly the kind of thing that I think our clients continue to look for, solutions to relatable training for their board, which is how you described what you and your team does. I have a another thought about Compliance Alliance, and that is, number one, I want to know if you're nationwide, and number two, I want to know what types of things would a ideal client of yours consider in using a service like Compliance Alliance. You know, that common phrase, due diligence. If they do conduct due diligence, what are they looking at that would say to them, this would be a very good choice to get assistance from someone like Compliance Alliance? So those are my two long-winded questions. Are you nationwide? And what kind of things determine that you're a good fit for a bank?
Those are really good questions. We are, in fact, nationwide. We are owned and operated by 25 state banking associations, but just because a state banking association may not have ownership rights in Compliance Alliance, that doesn't prevent us from offering membership to banks in those states. So we have representation in over 30 of the states here in the United States, and we are continuing to build out in other states. As far as knowing whether or not Compliance Alliance would be a good fit, when I first started and was approached to assist with Compliance Alliance, I thought about those very same things because I was trying to determine at that time if I wanted to continue in doing some consulting work or if this was really going to be a good fit for me. So I tried to look at it from what a bank would be looking at as well. And I think that Compliance Alliance is a good fit, as well as some of the regulators feel the same way. And I know a lot of our members, in fact, all of our members will tell you the same thing. When you look at Compliance Alliance, we offer things that aren't just for compliance officers. So even though the compliance officers are going to carry the bulk of the responsibility of compliance at a bank, without all of those other folks at the bank ensuring that everybody's operating within those compliant procedures and policies, then their efforts are going to be futile. So Compliance Alliance is going to provide all of those products to ensure that the staff that isn't completely or ultimately responsible for compliance is following the guidelines and making sure that they have those guidelines available so that the compliance officer can review those and ensure and keep up to date on the new ones coming out. And then when you look at the perspective of our staff, because our staff is all bankers, then we developed this product with our bankers in mind. We all sat down and we do this on a weekly basis still and kind of brainstorm and talk about what can we do for our bankers or what can we offer within the product lines that we have already that is going to help our bankers in compliance. For instance, most recently, we were talking about the Military Lending Act and the service members. And we were looking at the products that we have and trying to figure out, do we need to keep SCRA separate from MLA or does it make sense to put those together? And what we came up with was it's going to make sense to put those together because if we take those apart, then some may not understand that there are still aspects of MLA that they are responsible for as well. So we look at it from our banker's perspective and from what each one of our team members brings to the table. We have ones that were lenders and some that were actually in the audit department, and then we have some that worked in the operations department. So we have a group that clearly represents all areas in the bank, and they can tell us, you know, if I was working in new accounts, what is going to make my life easier in the area of compliance? And then you have the lenders that say, you know, when I was actually a loan officer and I wasn't as focused on compliance, what do I wish I had when I was doing those mortgage loans? Did I want a checklist? Was I looking for timelines? And then we take all of those and put together what we call product suites, if you will. And we actually call those toolkits on our website.
Well, you brought up, of course, mortgage lending, and I know last year that was certainly a big point of emphasis. Is it still in the hot topics for 2016, and what else is hot for this year?
I don't think mortgage lending is going to go away anytime soon as far as being in the hot topic list, not only because TRID was pushed back to mandatory compliance in October, I know that the regulators during this exam cycle right now, they're just looking to see how the bank got ready for TRID compliance and what planning they did, how they tested their vendors and things along those lines. Because I also know that the regulators are just now beginning to train their staff. And we've even had some of our bankers tell us that have just gone through exams during this first part of this year, that the regulators are looking specifically at the policies, the procedures, and that they're not looking at the actual compliance of the loan disclosure and the closing statement. They're looking to make sure that the bank had those processes in place. Now, once they've trained their examiners, then of course they're going to hit that hard. So we're going to continue to hear things coming out of the mortgage area for compliance. I also think that there's going to be hopefully some movement on the overdrafts, because we keep hearing that the CFPB is looking into the overdraft programs. We know that they sent out letters and they're trying to get information on it. So I'm sure that we're going to see something come out on the overdrafts. I think that the prepaid card rule is going to finally get some closure to it, hopefully. And so I think that, again, compliance in every area of the bank is going to continue to be hot topics. You know, we did hit a lot on the lending side last year, but we still had some on the operational side. And I think that hopefully they're going to finalize that beneficial ownership rule for BSA and FinCEN purposes. And I know that a lot of our banks are going ahead and putting that into place. In one of our huddles just recently, we had one of our members tell us that the regulators were looking, they had just finished a compliance exam, and they said that the regulators were testing for consumer harm in this go-round. Typically, when you have a compliance exam, the regulators come in and they're testing for compliance with the regulation. But this exam cycle, they're testing for consumer harm. So we actually got them to tell us, you know, what was on that request list and how did they test for consumer harm. And then we had another one of our members say, well, they had just finished a compliance exam with the Fed, and the Fed had actually requested the inbound and outbound call tapes from where they had conversations with their customers. So I really don't think lending's going anywhere, and I think there's going to be some more on fair lending, and of course UDAP's never going to go away either.
Well, since I have an expert on the line here, Darla, when you took a look at what the examiners were requesting regarding testing for consumer harm, enlighten me a little bit, if you can, about what are they looking for? What do they mean by that? Since I'm on the side of the bank that doesn't know very much about that kind of thing.
Well, honey, when they were asking about consumer harm, they were looking specifically at some of the bank's products, more specifically for the overdraft. You know, they would look and see, okay, did we overcharge for overdraft, meaning that did we just charge them a $25 fee, even if they had 15 overdrafts hit that day? Or did we actually have a policy in place that limited that and we followed it? Other ones were specific services, like in their rewards programs. Did that rewards program actually pay off? Was the customer completely informed? So it almost takes a look of a UDAP and sometimes even a fair lending concern. So when they talk about consumer harm, in my mind, it's looking more like UDAP and how we didn't fully explain things to our customers. And then did we take advantage of them by charging them extra fees and things along those lines? So it's more product related, and then looking to see how those products performed within that customer base.
Well, excellent. I think this is so good that we have an opportunity to hear from you in the window you look out of about where compliance is. You know, what I hear about, and I know you do too, is the burden of compliance and the high desire for a community bank to adhere to what's expected of them, but can get lost or troubled by knowing exactly how to do that. So this has been very informative. It's helped me see some things that a bank could choose an alternative for support, a look-see to a entity that, it, from what you told me, that many of the state banking associations have a stake in the success of a compliance alliance, and what a great service that they're able to provide. Now, if somebody wanted to know more about what you do or get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can contact us at our toll-free number, honey, and that is 888-353-3933. And you can either speak to myself, and again, my name is Darla Fogarty, or Sam Desmond. You can also contact us at info@compliancealliance.com. We also have, of course, our website, and that's just www.compliancealliance.com. And I tell you, I really do enjoy what we do here at Compliance Alliance, and I enjoy most of all being able to provide that support for our bankers in the area of compliance, because I know sometimes it gets so confusing and can be so frustrating at times.
Well, I certainly want to thank you for being our guest today, and I know that our clients will be checking out if they have a need for that kind of thing, that Compliance Alliance will be one of the places they look to for consideration. Thank you again for being with us, Darla. I really have enjoyed getting to know more about you and what you do.
Thank you, Ms. Honey, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about Compliance Alliance and what we make available for our members.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and check out our newsletter you'll be getting soon to see what our other topics will be for Training Matters. Thank you, everyone.
You've been listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton.